I want to change up and talk a little baseball with you right now. We are joined by a pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, having a big year, 4-2, an ERA of just over 4. He's got 62 strikeouts in 61 and a third innings. He is sixth in the American League in holds, an All-American, and a first-team All-Big West choice at UC Riverside. Red Sox have won 100 games. They're hosting Toronto tonight. We are joined by pitcher Joe Kelly. Joe, it's great to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Good afternoon. Well, good morning for you. Good afternoon for us. How are you, man?
Good, Joe. It's great to talk to you. I've been looking forward to it. Let me talk to you about a few things that were at the top. David Price went 7 innings last night. He allowed 3 hits in a 1-0 win over Toronto. He's now 5-0. He's got an ERA of just over 1.5 since the break. As one pitcher looking at another, what impresses you the most with the way he's pitching right now?
Man, the guy's a beast. He is. I mean, I've never seen somebody throw so many quality strikes. I mean, he's punching out guys looking left and right like I've never seen. You know, he's got to be up there probably along, you know, National League and American League for called through strikes. And he's one of the best pitchers. You know, if you go back and look throughout his career in the second half of all of baseball, I remember before I got the boot to the bullpen, before I was a below average starter, you know, I had a great run in, I think, 2015, where I think I won like 10 games in a row, and then the only other pitcher to do even better was Price. And I'm like, man, this David Price guy just turns it on second half. He knows when, you know, when it's time to grind and when it's time to lock it in a little bit more. And to be on his team now and to watch him do it the way he goes about his business is even better. You know, he's had some, you know, tough times here. You know, people just expect so much, you know, from being one of the greatest left-handed pitchers to ever live. And he's turned on at the right time, and he's pinned us on his back and carried us to that victory last night.
We're talking to Joe Kelly. What a great answer that was. Below average starting pitcher. I want to get into that in a minute, but I want to reiterate again. You were an All-American and a first-team All-Big West player at UC Riverside, and you made that transition to the bullpen. In fact, you had a hold in Tuesday's win over Toronto, which was the 99th win of the season, and then you guys get win number 100. It's the first time, Joe, a Red Sox team has won 100 games since 1946. It's an incredible accomplishment. When did you first start thinking that this team could be something really special?
Oh, yeah, I mean, like 100 wins, that's insane, man. Like, if you think about it, like the date you just threw out, there's probably, I mean, I don't know if there's anyone around the city or city of Boston who has ever even seen 100 wins. You know, you go look at that scoreboard out there, and it's the old manual scoreboard. You know, Tommy, the clubhouse guy here at the field, he's been working here for, you know, 40 years. He's like, man, this is going to be really, really weird. It's going to be the first time we see the number 100 in the win column, you know, up on that board because he's never seen it. And, you know, that's something special, and that's something we take pride in. And, you know, I would say it's not the old cliche, but, I mean, the past 2 years we won 94 games. You know, we won the division. But with Cora coming in, you know, coming in this year to spring training, you just feel that vibe. You know, we had the same team. You know, we added an MVP caliber player, which is JD Martinez. You know, we got our pitchers back healthy. You know, we just added bits and pieces in the trade deadline. You know, it's one of those things coming to spring training, like, hey, if we just do what we did last year, we're going to win 93 games. So that, at the back of my mind, is at ease. You know, we have such a talented team. And then Cora comes in here and just makes us play even better, man. It's pretty crazy. You just throw so much faith in all his players, and that's hard to do as a manager or coach or a head coach. But when you're playing for, you know, the guy who has faith in you and confidence in you, it makes players play even better. For example, you know, opening day, I went out there and threw a stinker and blew Chris Sale's opening day start. You know, it's probably one of the worst outings of my career. You know, 2 days later, Craig threw the first 2 games, and Cora came up to me like, hey, if there's a chance to get a save tonight, you're our closer. And at that time, I had an infinity ERA because I couldn't even get one out on opening day. And 2 days later, Cora came back to me and threw me in there to get my first career save. And it's times like that where, you know, managers and coaches and head coaches, you know, when they exude that confidence in their players, you know, I think you just get even more out of them.
Boston Red Sox pitcher Joe Kelly holding it down here in the jungle and joining us. So, Joe, you come up with the Cards, and then you're dealt to the Red Sox, and you know, we all know, Boston can be a really, really tough place to play. It's not for everybody. What's it take then to not only play in Boston, but to pitch in Boston?
It either takes, you know, somebody super, super mentally tough, or, you know, somebody who's maybe a complete psycho. You know, it's different. You know, I had no idea. You know, my father is Irish. You know, my grandfather is Irish. He's big Red Sox fan, you know, growing up. And I've heard all about it. You know, my brother's a big Red Sox fan before I was even in pro ball. You know, and coming from the Cardinals is awesome. You know, as you know, it's one of the greatest sports towns for baseball. The fans, you know, eat, breathe, and just watch Cardinal baseball. You know, you could be the 26th man on that Cardinal roster, and you walk into a restaurant, they're buying you dinner because they know, you know, every single player.
Sure.
And getting traded over, I didn't know much except for that the Red Sox were not in a good place at the time, and they're in last place. So mentally, I was kind of upset because I knew I had a chance to pitch in the playoffs again that year with the Cardinals, and then getting traded over. But I had no idea how great of a baseball town I really was until, you know, I was actually playing here. You know, people were like, yeah, you know, media's tough, da, da, da. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, and then until I get, you know, to put on the Red Sox on my uniform and really get under that scrutiny, you know, it's kind of hard to tell other guys or other players. You know, it's great. The passion here is great. You know, deep down inside, I still think, you know, the city of Boston's a baseball town, you know, even though you got, you know, Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback ever, winning year in, year out, you know, Super Bowls. You got the Bruins, you know, making the playoffs every year. You got the Celtics, who are looking like a top three team in the NBA. I mean, there's so much winning going on in this town. And if, you know, the Red Sox lose, you know, it's like hell, you know, hell froze over. I still think deep down inside it's a Red Sox town, which is awesome. You know, I wouldn't have it, you know, any other way. So, you know, you got to come to Boston, you got to strap it on, you got to play, you got to perform. And, you know, that's something that, you know, might hinder some guys, but, you know, the guys we got in our clubhouse and I think that, you know, the front office does a great job in breeding personalities. I think we have a great mix of guys who can handle that pressure. So, you know, I think it's a great time to be a Boston Red Sox.
Boston Red Sox pitcher Joe Kelly, my guest. All right, Joe, we talked about St. Louis. We talked about Boston. You know I need to talk to you about Cali. You played your high school ball at Corona High School out here in California. What was life like for you in Corona?
Well, if I was a good kid, it would have been great. No, Corona was awesome, man. I was born in Anaheim, you know, moved out to Corona around, you know, age 10. So I was an Anaheim kid. All my family still lives in Anaheim, you know, my cousins and stuff. But growing up to Corona, you know, it's great to see. Corona's turning it around with sports. You know, you got Centennial Football out there who's, you know, I think top 10 in the country, and they're freaking public school, so that's pretty cool to see. You know, you got a great baseball program, Corona, with San Diego Baseball. One of my was the first high school I went to. And then you got my alma mater, Corona High, you know, who's been to state, you know, twice in the past 5 years. And I think 4 years ago, you know, Corona High won state in for Division I baseball. So it's really cool to see, you know, not only there's great athletes in Orange County, but, you know, usually OC kids, I think the kids from the IU can't play, but, you know, we come out and we strap it on and we play some hard-nosed sports out there. But like you said, Corona, as long as you get to stay away from that 91 and rush hour traffic, it's a great little spot to be in.
It's good advice, but it sounds like you're proudly repping the 909, though, right?
Oh yeah, no doubt. You know, finally getting an in and out right off. I live in Rancho Cucamonga now, so finally getting an in and out right off of my exit. I don't have to drive 4 miles down to the closest in and out, so I'm pretty pumped about that.
I love it, man. The Kook is the best. Now, you went to UC Riverside, and you initially showed up as a freshman outfielder, but the head coach there, Doug Smith, and my man, the pitching coach, Andrew Checkitz, they see your arm, they want to make you a relief pitcher. What was your reaction, and what was that transition like?
I'll tell you what, the reaction was terrible. I was not very happy because it was funny. I mean, I don't know if you know the story, but, you know, one day.
Give it to us. Give it to us.
I was out in the outfield. I'll make it quick. And me being a goofball, I was catching fly balls early for BP, you know, young 18-year-old kid. And I was chucking the balls over the bubble from center field wall, over the bubble, and trying to just throw it over the guys to scare him. And our closer went down. His name's Adam Reffer. And long story short, I wasn't going to play. I was probably going to redshirt. You know, I was undersized, real skinny kid. And Checkitz came up to me and was like, hey, you ever pitch? I was like, you know, man, I pitched growing up my whole life. You know, when I was 12 years old, I got stress fracture. I don't want to pitch no more. He's like, well, we're gonna see what you got. So he gave me a ball. You know, I was still in my sneakers, you know, and went to the mound. And I was like, you just want me to throw a strike? He's like, yeah. So, you know, wind up through it, came out pretty good. He goes, hold on, let me be right back. So Checkitz ran in and got the radar gun. He's like, do it again. First pitch he got was like 95. He's like, do it again. Next pitch, 96. And after that little short time, he goes, hey, man, you're going to hang up the bat and we're going to work on pitching. So I think your hitting career is over. And I didn't have a fair shot because when I was hitting in fall ball at UC Riverside, I had to face pitchers like James Simmons, who was a first rounder. You know, I had to face a pitcher like Mark Zepchinski, who's still in the big leagues right now. So they were sawing me off, making me look terrible at a buck 45. But, you know, pitching coach saw my arm, was like, hey, let's give it a whirl, and then started pitching from there.
Joe, that's an amazing story. And I love Checkets. You know, I went to UC Santa Barbara, so I'm all about Checkets and the program and how they're doing. I love that he was the guy that turned you around and made you a pitcher. But do you miss picking up the bat?
All the time. You know, I'm still hoping that, you know, I get my World Series at bat this year and you know, maybe a little mess up where, you know, it's an extra inning game and I got to go through innings. But, you know, I'm looking to get some redemption. You know, last time I hit, I think, was off of Matt Latos, and I think I got a single off of Matt Latos, but I love hitting, and you know, I take a lot of pride in it. If we get a chance, you know, I'm going to ask Cora, hey, I'll keep going as long as you need me in the game, in the playoffs, and if we get the World Series, and I want a little at bat right there.
God, Cora's the best. I love him, too. I got to ask you, and Joe, I could do this for hours. I know you got stuff to do, but I got to ask you about the Big West. You were killing it in the Big West, even if that's not exactly the way you thought it would go. You were killing it. I am a Gaucho. What was life like for you playing college ball in the Big West?
The Big West is awesome. You know, and that was a big part of where I signed because my family still lives, like you said, in Corona. UC Riverside, you know, I get to play Irvine, I get to play Long Beach State, I get to play Fullerton. Those are all really, really short drives for my whole family. And the Big West is great. You know, the talent that comes out of there is very, very underrated. You know, you got Chris Davis with a K, you know, that played at Cal State Fullerton, took me deep, opposite field homer off the bench, blew a save in Cal State Fullerton, I think my junior year. And I was like, who is this guy? And now you look at Chris Davis now, and he's got 41 jacks in the big leagues for Oakland. So, you know, there's talent everywhere. You got Peters from Long Beach State. You know, you got Davinsky from, you know, Fullerton. I mean, you got Big West players throughout the big leagues everywhere. I would say it's a top three conference in baseball, you know, for Division I baseball.
Hey, Joe, right now, if anybody's watching us on CBS Sports Network, I'm looking into my computer screen because I'm actually texting with Checkets right now, and he wants to know if you're still on. Is there anything I should tell him since I'm texting him as I'm talking to you?
Tell him one of my favorite things that Chex Mix has ever, we call him Chex Mix, Chex Mix has ever told me to do was, you know, when I first started pitching, we would do long talks on the soccer fields above the baseball field at the Plex in Riverside, and he would always want me to just, you know, get my arm stronger and throw it as far as I can. And I remember we were playing long toss, and I think it was Kevin Dickey was my catch partner, and he's like, hey, throw it over his head. I'm like, you really want me to throw it over his head? He's like, yeah, throw it as far as you can. And I was like, all right. So I got the ball and just chucked it over my long toss partner's head. And my partner looked at me like, what am I doing? And he's like, see, those are the mechanics you need to translate. Like, that's like the perfect mechanics of right there for pitching. I'm like, oh, that's what you want me to do.
That's it. I see you working. He's technical like that, too. Joe, last story. You've got a million of them. The last story. I just need to know whether or not this is true because it's legendary. On draft day, tell me if this is true. The story goes that you were 21.
Yep.
On the same day of the draft, there was a big party at OG's in Corona. Is that accurate so far? Like you were 21 and it was draft day at OG's?
That's 100% accurate so far.
Okay. So then that's a tough combination, right? 21 and draft day. Rumor is you might have gotten after it a little bit that same day. Is that accurate?
That's not a rumor. That's accurate for sure.
All right, so that's accurate. And then you get a phone call from the Angels, and that's the hometown team, and they said their pick is coming up. What would it take to sign you? Did you get that phone call, and then what did you tell them?
That was a phone call I got. The only thing I really remember, if pretty much is letting them know, so I blacked out. Let's just be honest. You know, 21-year-old kid on draft day with some Jaeger, it's not the best combination to talk to scouts and GMs.
Incredible.
I should have let my dad answer or somebody. So the phone call came, and they were like, hey, Joe, our pick's coming up in the second round, and like four or five picks or something. They're like, you know, what kind of money are you looking for? We'll take to sign you. And I threw out some random number, and I was like, it's going to be over $1 million. And back then, second round slot was, you know, maybe like $600,000 or $750,000. I was like, it's got to be over $1 million. And they're like, all right, cool. And they hung up, and, you know, next thing you know, pick comes up, no draft. And I didn't really realize that until, you know, the next day, puking my brains out. I was like, told my dad and told my girlfriend, who's my wife at the time, I was like, you remember that phone call I took? And I was like, it's the Angels. And I told him it meant like a money thing. They're like, yeah. I was like, well, I think I just screwed myself out of getting drafted by the Angels. And they're like, no way. I was like, yeah. Told him I wanted over $1 billion, which wasn't realistic at that point of the draft. And, you know, it all worked out being great. You know, the Cardinals drafted me and gave me a chance to play in the big leagues. I think being drunk on my 21st birthday for the draft was all meant to be. You know, if I was sober, I might have been an Angel. You never know.
Joe freaking Kelly, dude, you I knew this would be good, Joe, but even for you, I didn't know it would be this good. You are a freaking revelation, man. That was an absolutely amazing interview. So good to have you on, Joe. Really good to wrap with you. We have to do this again soon. I mean, really
Let's
soon.
Let's do it again. Maybe we'll do it at Javier's.
Anytime, man. Javier's, whatever you want, dude. Your world, Joe. We can do it in the Kook. We can do it in Javier's. We can do it in Boston. Anytime you want. I'd love to have you back.
Awesome, Jimmy. Thank you.
Dude, OGs and Jaeger, we could do that.
As long as we don't have to watch a baseball draft during that time, we can watch a football game with that.
You got it, man. Joe, you're the best. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
So good. Joe Kelly. All right, so you find me a better Jungle debut than Joe Kelly.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.